Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Are you still awake out there? What a beautiful morning. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. The sky is blue. God is still on the throne. Do you believe that? He surely is. I'm going to read a scripture from Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts 16 and verse 25. And it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." You know, there's times when the devil really wants to shut you down. This world wants to shut you down. There's times because when you're a Christian, trying to live as a Christian, you feel pressure come upon you, and the enemy wants to shut you down. This was a time in the life of Paul and his colleague Silas, who were preaching the gospel in a place called Philippi, and the authorities didn't like it and tried to shut them down. So what did they do? They had them beaten. Their backs were bloodied. They stripped them, beat them, threw them into prison, and gave a jailer charge over them. The devil was trying to shut them down. This world was trying to shut them down. And how many of you could imagine that if you were suddenly, if you went from this place today, and you got arrested, and you was beaten, I mean, beaten, whipped, and then you were thrown into a prison, a dirty, stinking, smelly dungeon, and your hands and feet were chained. How would you feel? How would you feel? What would you be saying? Quite possibly, some of you will be saying, "Oh God, what have I done to deserve this? Oh God, why is this happening to me?" We would question the circumstances, and we would question what has gone wrong. When things go wrong in our lives, we often question, "God, why has this happened? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are they trying to shut me down? I'm doing your work, Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm living for you. Why are these bad things happening?" Those are things that Paul and Silas could have said. But you know what the Bible says? At midnight. I would imagine that at midnight, most of you was asleep last night. Am I right? Midnight's a time when you want to what? Sleep. You just want to nod off and sleep. But these two guys, with bloodied backs, hungry, beaten, cast into prison, at midnight, they decided to pray. And at midnight, they decided to have a wonderful praise time. They started to sing hymns to God. And it said, and all the prisoners heard them. Now, is that like, that's like shining on me, isn't it? Do I move out of it when I go? Can you, have I moved out of it now? Because I like to walk around, you know. Either, so if, is it okay if I walk around? Is it? Because sometimes I'll be in the dark, won't I? There, he's got me again. Okay. At midnight, something really wonderful happened in this prison. A light was switched on. Like that one. A shining light. As they started to sing praises to God, it says an earthquake came, and the foundations were shaken, and everybody's chains fell off. Everybody. And all the doors flew open. How many of you know that's some sort of a earthquake that is? That wasn't an earthquake from the devil. That was an earthquake from God. How many of you know that God can send spiritual earthquakes? You don't know that? God can send spiritual earthquakes to make sure we stay awake, sometimes to wake us up. God can do wonderful things when the world tries to shut us down. So I've got a very simple message to you this morning. I really felt on the way here to minister to you about the power of praise. These two men would not have felt like praising God. Come on. Don't look at me so spiritual. There's times when you don't feel like praising God. There's times when it's very hard for you to praise God. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews chapter 13. It says, "Let us then continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise." Let us then continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. I wonder how many of you here this morning was really praising God, or was you just singing some songs? And this is a time when we're supposed to be praising Him more than any other time, when we come together. And it's our opportunity to center and to focus on Him and to praise Him. But a lot of Christians don't. I believe with all of my heart that Christians do not praise God enough. I'm waiting for some sort of a response. I better say it again because you didn't hear me, did you? I believe that Christians do not praise God as much as they should do. I believe most of the time we don't praise God. That scripture says, "Let us therefore continually," not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Monday morning, on a Tuesday morning, on a Wednesday morning, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back on Sunday. "Let us continually offer to God," listen to what it says, "a sacrifice of praise." Why did it use the word "a sacrifice"? Because sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like, you know, a sacrifice is something that you have to make. It's something you have to give. It's not something you necessarily want to, but you have to because you know it's a right thing to do. It is a sacrifice. It costs you something. "Let us therefore continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise." Now listen to this. "Which is what?" It says, "which is the fruit of our lips." Everybody say, "Praise the Lord." Praise. Pretty pathetic, was it? I know it was pathetic, Lord. I'm trying. I've just asked you to praise God. I've asked you to use the fruit of your lips. Say it again. "Praise the Lord."
Praise.
That's better. Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting. You've just used the fruit of your lips to praise God. Why is praise so important? Right through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see it, praise all the way through. One of the best examples of praise was David. He said, "I'll extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Paul here, in prison, was praising God. Some of you have had some tough time in the last week or two or month. And during those tough times, you've not wanted to praise, and some of you haven't. Why is it important to praise God? Well, let me tell you this. Number one, a human being is the only creature on planet Earth that has the ability to appreciate what God has made. Let that sink in. Human beings who God made are the only creatures on Earth that have the ability to appreciate what God has made. Cows can't do that. Sheep can't do that. Elephants can't do that. Your dog can't do that. Your cat, your budgie can't do it. They're creatures that God has made, beautiful creatures, lovely creatures. But God has made us to appreciate what He has made. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. I've this week been looking in Google, I've been looking at the outer space through the Hubble telescope and just looking at some of the things that God have made. we just find out that they have just discovered, listen to this, another 300,000 galaxies. Just discovered them, extra. They know there are billions of galaxies, I guess, but they've discovered another three that they didn't even know existed. 300,000. We're talking a galaxy. We're not talking a solar system. We're talking about something that is so big, so immense, so huge. And I was looking at some of the photographs and the pictures and just seeing the beauty of God's creation, the enormity of God's creation. And then I said to myself, God, why are we so small? Compared with everything, and we don't know where the universe finishes. We don't know. We don't know where the cosmos ends. It just goes on and on and on. And there are suns and there are planets. There are incredible things out there. Incredible. Huge. Our sun is a big sun. But you know, it's one of the smallest. Some suns are so big that they would engulf both the earth and the sun together. That's how big. Can you imagine a sun that big? And I said, Lord, why are we so small? How many of you know, this earth is just a pinprick in the cosmos. A pinprick, even less than that, in the cosmos. Then on this earth, these people are, how big do you think you are in the cosmos? You wouldn't be seen, would you? You're tiny, small. And I was saying to God one day, why are we so small, God? Why don't you make us bigger? Why did you make it? I just, you know, don't look at me like that. I tend to think things. I try to think things. Why aren't we any bigger than what we are? Why is the cosmos so big and we're so small? And I felt the Lord say, you're so small and this is so big because I'm showing you how big I am. I'm showing you what I can do. If the cosmos contains billions of galaxies, and God made them, guess what? He's bigger than them. He's bigger than everything that we can imagine. There's many skeptics in the world. There's many atheists in the world. People like Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett. I was watching a program where they was discussing atheism. And Richard Dawkins was saying that the whole of creation came from the Big Bang. That's what they call it, the Big Bang Theory. And they use the word Big Bang. And I think that is an amazing thing, a Big Bang, because there was nothing there. And he was saying that God didn't create it, this Big Bang. And then it was on a panel discussing, and there was an audience. And Richard Dawkins is not used to being laughed at. But unfortunately for him, he came onto Aussie television. And while he was being interviewed, and he says, everything that you see, the whole cosmos came from a Big Bang. And this guy said to him, well, what caused the Big Bang? What was there before the Big Bang? He said, nothing. This is Richard Dawkins, very clever man. Nothing. Nothing at all. So he says, well, how can a Big Bang come from nothing? And do you know what Richard Dawkins said? Oh, well, that's a mystery, isn't it? And that's what happened. The congregation laughed when he said that. And he got really ruffled. He says, what are they laughing for? And the guy's because of what you just said. It's so stupid. If there's nothing, how can there be a big bang? If there's nothing to make it bang. You see what I'm saying? They actually believe that it all happened with them. I get fascinated with astronomy. I get fascinated with the photographs. I love them. But sooner or later, when you're listening to these people, they all talk about the Big Bang. The Big Bang is a theory. It's not a fact. The sun is a fact. The moon is a fact. The solar system is a fact. The Milky Way is a fact. The universe is a fact. But the Big Bang is not a fact. It's somebody's theory that somewhere billions of years ago, there was an explosion. They don't know what kind of explosion. They haven't got a clue what kind of, but it was a big bang. Where did it come from? Nobody knows. How did it come? Nobody knows. Well, I think I'd sooner believe that my God created all that, not a big bang. Amen. How many people, when you've talked to about the virgin birth, and you say to them, you know, Mary was a virgin and she gave birth to Jesus, they laugh and mock, don't they? They actually, most people don't believe in the virgin birth, but they will believe in the virgin universe. Come on, they believe in a virgin universe, but they don't believe in the virgin birth. They believe that everything that you see came from nothing. And if you start to study the galaxies and you see the size of them, and they still just found out, let's say 300,000 more galaxies, not stars, galaxies, and each galaxy's got billions of stars. Must have been some bang, mustn't it? Come on! And so one, you know, they've even changed the view now. They've said that not all of them, but a lot of scientists are saying, well, no, we realize it couldn't have come from nothing. Could it? Could have come from nothing. So one English scientist is saying he thinks what happened was that space compressed. There was nothing. And space, just nothing but space, and it compressed and caused a big bang. My question is this: how can nothing compress when it's got nothing to compress against? Gases compress, water compresses, but you can't compress nothing if there's nothing there to compress. Come on. The heavens declare the glory of God. The reason we should praise Him alone is for the creation that He has made. And when you look at the creation, David says, when I look at the stars, the sun and the moon, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou dost visit him. David looked and he saw the stars as a young boy. He started to forge a relationship with God when he saw the, he was not looking through a telescope. He was looking with his eyes and he saw the incredible magnitude of all that was created, and he thought to himself, how big is God? Come on, you got a big God. Lift up your head. You've got a big God who loves you, cares for you, who sent his son to die for you. You serve a big God. Say amen. Bit louder. Bit louder. Even louder. Amen. He's big. We should praise Him. Nothing wrong with praising God. It's a good thing to do. And you're the only creature on earth that can do that. He's made us incredibly unique that we can appreciate Almighty God's creation. See, you can't see God. God is invisible. He's a spirit. You can't see Him. He's bigger than everything that there is. I don't know how big the universes are, but He is bigger than them all. He made them all. What a great God. Amen. You don't serve a Santa Claus. You serve Almighty God. And how would you describe this God? What would you say? What would you say? How do you describe God? He's big. Yeah. He's powerful. Yeah. He's eternal. Yeah. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Omniscient, yeah. But there's one word that I think of to describe Him. See, His names describe Him. The covenant names of God describe to us who He is. They don't describe who He exactly is, but to us they describe the beautiful covenant names of God, that He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. Amen? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. They describe to us who He is to us. But there's a word that I used to love to use, but today I don't use it so much because it's been, like a lot of other words, ruined. That's the word awesome. I think God is awesome. I got an amen. We're starting to wake up here. Good. I don't know who said that, but next time say it louder so the rest of them can hear it. Our God is awesome. And yet I hear today young people take that word awesome, which describes God, to me. My grandkids are the same. If I gave one of my great-grandkids $10 the other day. I said, take that. He said, oh, thanks, Pop. That's awesome. I said, no, it's not. Oh, it is. Thank you, Bob. Oh, a music group is awesome. Do you know what I'm saying? We as Christians use that word too glibly. Let the world use it glibly, but don't you use it glibly. Don't ever say anything is awesome apart from God. Don't you think that's a good idea? I think that's a good idea, don't you? Don't go saying this. It's not awesome. There is nothing awesome than God. God is awesome. Now, some of you have got to change it a little bit now, haven't you? I've said that. Well, I'm hoping that you will, because we need to praise Him and Him alone. So praising God is that uniqueness that we have to appreciate His creation. And praising God is very important, because when you're praising God, do you know what you're doing? You're focusing on God and not yourself. One thing I hate is reality TV. Can't stand it. Do you hear me? Can't stand reality TV. It's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. You know, they got that one about the wedding one. You know, you meet somebody and marry them. They got that one. About 3 weeks ago, I was listening on the radio as I drive my car, and this guy came on the program. Every week he comes on, and he is a expert in the TV shows, and he helps with the ratings and all this sort of thing, and he could tell you what they're rating. And so the guy said, oh, did you see the wedding one last night? And he says, yes, I saw it for 10 minutes. I got so sick of it, I turned it off. This is a guy who's supposed to be promoting all these things. He said it was absolute rubbish. He says, and I wasn't really working. He says, so I started to skim through the channels trying to find something, one after the other. He says, and I came across one, Hillsong. It was an Hillsong production. He says, and I started to watch it. He says, no, I don't belong to Hillsong. And I'm not advocating that people go to Hillsong. He said, I'm not doing that. He said, but you know, this is a non-Christian talking. He says, do you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed it. He says, it was real. It was honest. He said, the music was great. The singing was good. And he said, I watched it for 2 hours. This is a non-Christian who is in the entertainment business, who's sick and tired with what he sees. Reality television, it stinks. My Kitchen Rules, it stinks. Do you know what they're trying to do? Just get people to be nasty and angry and vicious and greedy and jealous. That's all they're trying. Don't watch those shows, because all you're doing is polluting your mind. You know what you're doing when you're looking at those shows? You're focusing on yourself. You're focusing on mankind. And when you focus on mankind, bad things can happen. I used to be a pest control operator. I used to have a license to kill. Flies, cockroaches, rats, fleas particularly. And I remember once, we got a flea, and you can hardly see a flea, but you can feel them, can't you? You can hardly see a flea. So they put this flea under the microscope, and I looked at it, and I couldn't believe how ugly it was. When you blow it up, it is ugly. Absolutely ugly. It's like a monster, tiny little thing you can't see hardly with your naked eye, but when you put it under a microscope, it's an ugly monster. And I thought to myself, that's what happens to us when we put ourselves under the microscope. When we turn the microscope on human beings, guess what they become? Monsters. And I don't care what, if they can be in sport or entertainment or politics, particularly politics. Now, you turn the spotlight on them and they become monsters. So if I want to see the worst of man, turn the spotlight on us. No, I don't want to do that. Not only do we have microscopes, we also have telescopes. What does a telescope do? When you look through a telescope, you bring something that is out there closer to you. A telescope brings that which is distant closer. And I thought, that's the kind of vision I want. Telescopic vision, looking out there to God and bringing Him closer. Hallelujah. Come on. I don't want you to put a microscope on me. I'm a monster. I want a telescope that I can bring the presence of God right into my heart, right into my life, and change me from the outside in. Can you say amen to that? Can you say glad to that? Come on! It's true. We don't want to put the microscope on ourselves. We want a telescope out there and say, God, come closer. How do we do that? Praise does that. When you're praising God, you're actually focusing on the goodness of God. We focus when we're praising God on his creation, the bigness and the greatness and the awesomeness of God. But when we start to praise him, we take the microscope off ourselves and we start to see how great and wonderful, merciful and good our God is. I have been a Christian now for, a long time. Nearly 63 years. Long time, isn't it? Would you agree? Some of you are not 60 yet, are you? I've been a Christian for longer than some of you have been alive. I've pastored 3 churches. I've understood death. I've seen death many, many times. I've seen sickness. I have seen everything that you could think to see. I've seen it. In my own family, I saw my beautiful sister die at the age of 32 with a tumor on the brain. She left 2 little girls. I saw her die in a horrible way. So my mother was in the room when my mother died of cancer. I'd led my mother to the Lord just a few months before, and she died of cancer, and I was in the room with her when she died. I have been very close to death, being a pastor many, many, many times. But in the last few years, I've gone through something that's knocked me for 6. I never thought, you see, I've always been, every time I come here, you've heard me over the years, I preach faith, don't I? Don't you know what I preach? I preach faith. I preach encouragement. I preach praising God. I always believe that God is the answer to everything. But this last few years, I've gone through something that's knocked me for 6. My wife has got dementia. Been married to her for 58 years. And I nursed her for 7 years to the point where I couldn't nurse her anymore because it just got too hard. I wasn't sleeping. It was just, and I'm watching her deteriorate. And I'm asking the question, God, why? I'm praying. My church is praying. Other churches are praying. God, why is this happening to my beautiful wife? What is this about? Why is this? And I want to tell you, it really hurt. 12 months ago, nearly 12 months ago, I put into a nursing home in Gosnells. And I want to tell you, it was the worst time of my life, because she hadn't completely gone, but she was almost gone, and she had enough recognition of me to want to be with me. And as I left her and I started to walk through the doors, she reached out and she cried for me. I want to tell you, it tore my heart to pieces. I got into my car and I cried. I said, God, what is happening here? Why is this happening to my beautiful wife? She's been with me all these years. Been a beautiful mother and a grandmother. She's now a great-grandmother. Why has this terrible disease hit her? It's now got to the point where she hardly ever recognizes me. On Friday when I go in there to visit, I always feed her food because she can't feed. She has to be spoon-fed. She sleeps most of the time. And she doesn't recognize me. I can't talk about the past. I can't talk about memories. There's nothing to talk about. And I knew that when I first put her in there that she was really agitated. She was fearful. I could see that. And she knew me then and wanted me. And she tried to get out. Several times she tried to get out of the place. And I started to pray, God, please give her peace. You know, you get to a place where you don't know how to pray. What do you pray? Do you pray, God, heal? Of course you do. But do you also pray, God, I don't want her to be like this. Take her home. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want her to be like this. I can't bear this. Take her home. Heal her or take her. Sometimes you pray and you don't know how to pray or what to pray. Now, nobody come and give me any advice afterwards, please. I'm a pastor. Okay, I've been there, done that. I've given the advice. But when things happen to you that there is no real answers for, And so one thing I prayed, I started to pray, God, give her peace. She's agitated, she's fearful, and she's worried. Give her peace. And the moment I said that, a little voice in my head said, don't be stupid. She's got dementia. She's got dementia. You can't pray for things like that. Her mind is ill, it's sick, it's broken, it needs fixing. You can't. That's what the voice said to me. Then I thought, no. A scripture came to me. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And then Paul speaks about the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will garrison your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So I thought, there it is. That peace that you give has got nothing to do with the condition of our mind, because it passes all understanding. Come on. Come on. So I started to pray for peace, and the peace of God has come upon her. I visit her now, and I get upset, obviously, because she's my beautiful wife, but I'll tell you what, she's at peace. There's a serenity about her. And I say, Lord, I want two things to happen to her. I want her to be healed, obviously, but Lord, I want her to be at peace, and I want your joy to be her portion. And I could keep you here all day telling you about little stories that have happened, that she's quite joyful. And she at times encourages people in that nursing home, believe it or not. She actually encourages them. And about a year ago, at my worst moment, when I came out of that place, I didn't feel like praising God. I felt like I was in a dungeon. In fact, I think I would sooner have been in a dungeon and somebody beating me than what my wife was going through. Do you understand what I'm saying? I could put up with my dear wife. Why should she have to do? So I was in a place where I didn't feel like praising God. So I'm not telling you this morning something that I haven't experienced. So I thought, God, I'm not going to let this thing drag me down and drag away the joy that you've given me, because I don't understand what is happening, but I do understand that you are a good God. And what you do is good. Now, I am not saying God has given a dementia. I'm not. Of course he hasn't. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But she has it. And I don't understand why, or, and I still pray for a healing. But one thing I'm not going to let the devil do is pull me down and put me in a dungeon. I refuse to be in a dungeon. I'm going to praise God no matter what. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm serious. That's what I'm going through right now. So when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself as well. When I praise God, I appreciate his creation. When I praise God, I appreciate him and all that he's doing in my life. And then the third thing, and this is, and I'll finish with this. When you praise God, do you know what praise does? It inspires your hope and it ignites your faith. When you get to a place where you're praising God, your hope is inspired and your faith is ignited. And now when I'm talking about praising God, hear me closely now. I'm not talking about coming on a Sunday morning to church to sing choruses. That's just a tiny little part of it. I'm talking about tomorrow morning when you wake up, and you've got the kids to face, or work to face, or school to face. When you've got situations to face that you don't want to, what do? You offer to God that sacrifice of praise. You actually start to develop a lifestyle of praise. And if the only place you praise God is here on a Sunday morning, you've missed it. If that's what you think praise is just about, to come and sing some choruses on a Sunday morning, go out there and moan and groan for the rest of the week, you're wrong. I love Christians. I love all kinds of Christians. But I don't like all Christians. Can I say that again? I love all kinds of Christians, but I don't like all Christians. What kind of Christian don't I like? The grumpy bums. The ones who complain and moan. I'm talking about Christians. I know this lady that I visit quite often. She's older than me. And she's been a Christian nearly as long as I have, and I'm yet to find her saying something nice. She can't say anything good about anything or anybody. I think to myself, what a sad individual she is. And I'll guarantee you, she doesn't know how to praise God. Because you can't praise God and not experience an earthquake. Come on, you can't praise God and not experience an earthquake. Some of you need one. Some of you feel you're in a dungeon. It might be your marriage. It might be the kids. It might be your finances. It might be a sickness in your body. Some of you feel like you're in a dungeon. The devil's trying to shut you down and you're giving in. You're letting him do it. Listen to this. I wonder what would have happened if Paul and Silas went to sleep that night instead of praising God. What would have happened? There wouldn't have been an earthquake. There wouldn't have been freedom. The jailer wouldn't have got saved. There wouldn't have been a church planted at Philippi. If Paul and Silas got together when they were in stocks and Paul says, oh, boy, I'm sorry, Silas, I've dragged you into this. And Silas asks, you think you are? What have we done? Well, look, I thought this was going to be good. I thought this preaching thing, following you, Paul, was going to be good. Look at me. Look at me. I'm just in so much pain. I'm hungry. I'm away from her. We could get killed. You know, we could get killed tomorrow. You realize that, don't you? What would it all been about? They could have had that sort of a conversation. You never would, though, would you? Come on, you never would you? You'd never have a conversation like that. So what, I don't know, maybe they did start with a little grumble. Who knows, a human. But at some stage, Paul said, come on, let's have church. Let's have church. How many of you know church isn't just in a building that's been built for God? You can have church anywhere. You can have church in your supermarket tomorrow. You can have church in your office tomorrow. You can have church in your workshop tomorrow. You can have church in your classroom. Wherever God is, you can have church. And guess what? God's everywhere. So you can have church everywhere. And Paul, at some stage, said, come on, let's sing. And they started to sing. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they started to sing and their faith started to ignite. Oh, praise. And then an earthquake came. Now, most people are frightened of earthquakes. But this one, their chains fell off. The doors flew open. Dust everywhere. Nobody had escaped. The prisoners were just gobsmacked. The prisoners heard these two guys. They were keeping the prisoners awake, singing praises to God. Isn't that good? Are the prisoners listening to you? Are they? Are the prisoners in your house that are not Christians listening to you? Are the prisoners next door listening to you? Are the prisoners at school, at work, in the office listening to you? Are you such a voice for God that you'll praise your maker no matter what? One of my favorite characters was John Wesley. Who's heard of John Wesley? Founded the Methodists. Quite a few of you have. And in his 80s, mid-80s, he was dying. And he was in bed and he got his family around him. And he's done such incredible work for God. And you know, the last thing he did, he sang a hymn as he was dying. I'll praise my maker while I've breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise will ne'er be past, while life and thought or being last or immortality endures. And he went. What a way to go. Come on, what a way to go. Would you like to go like that? I would. I don't want to go while I'm moaning at somebody. I don't want to go when I've got the gripes. I don't want to go when my faith is low. I don't want to go when everything, when I know the devil's trying to shut me down. He ain't going to. I'm not going to let the devil shut me down. Amen. I'm going to praise my maker while I've breath. Hallelujah. And when I've gone from this place, I'll still be praising him. Come on, I'll praise him. Because we have to praise him. Praise is something you develop as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle. Let us therefore continually offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. I'm going to praise him because I can. He's created me to appreciate him. I'm not going to put him down. I'm not going to ignore him. I always say, what a great God. Do you know, sometimes when I'm driving along and I see a sunset, honestly, I'll be driving and I'll look at this sunset and I'll go, oh, God, you're so clever. I actually say it out loud. God, you are so clever. Look at the beauty. See, I do a bit of artwork. I do paintings. I do landscapes and a few portraits. But I can't paint like God. He's the best painter of all. And every single sunset that you see, you never see another one like it. It's a one and only. Isn't he clever? He's a clever. Say God is clever. Do you believe it? Wasn't very, I doubt if he even heard that. The angels are here right now thinking, what's wrong with this lot? He's told them how good and great and clever God is, but they don't want to express it. This sort of, well, Pastor, it's all right for you. If you knew what I'm going through, if you knew the hassles I've got, if you knew what my wife was like, if you knew what my husband was like, if you knew what my kids were like, if you knew what my boss was like, you'd understand why I don't want to do that. No, I won't. I don't care what your wife's like, or your husband, or your kids, or your boss. I just know he's good. And I know I'm going one day to be with him. And I know this, that whatever happens to my wife here, the day will come when I'll be with her for eternity. And she won't have dementia in heaven. When my sister died of a tumor on the brain, she was 32. I was a young Christian. I led her to the Lord. She left two girls. You can imagine, I won't go into the details, but it was horrific. She had this tumor right on the front of this. They operated, couldn't cut all the roots out, put a steel plate in her forehead. And for 3 years she lasted and in agony. And when she died, I was so angry with God. So angry. I was a young Christian, so angry. And don't look at me again so spiritual. We do get angry with God, don't we? Let's be honest. We're human. I'm not trying to get you to be... you're human. I understand. And I got angry. I went to a funeral. I said, why, God, has this happened with all the prayer? And then I was reading Revelation, where it's a beautiful scripture that says, and God will wipe away every tear. There will be no more pain, or sickness, or sorrow, or death, for the former things have passed away. And this is what God said to me in my heart. I was angry, you see, but God said, John, your sister does not have that tumor now. She's with me for eternity. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you can clap. That's a wonderful thing. It's same with you. Whatever you've gone through, and I'll finish with this, whatever you're going through or have gone through, can I say this? This is how good our God is, how big he is. Paul says, all things can work together for good to them that love God. Do I understand why she died of a tumor? No. Do I understand why my wife's got dementia? No, I don't. But I do know this, that out of it, God can bring good for all of us. Do you believe it? Come on, I'm finding a hard time getting through here. Whatever you're going through, God can turn it to your good if you have a spiritual earthquake. If you let God into the rightful place in your heart and you praise him as you should praise him, I'm going to tell you, he'll take whatever's happening in your life and he will somehow, some way, turn it around for your good. You may not even understand it down here, but in heaven, you'll understand it. Amen. He's going to do it because he's a good God. He's a great God. Amen. He wants to bless you. He wants to do something special in your life. I just sense that in God. Father, I thank you for this man. Lord, I thank you that you love him so much and you've got things ahead for him that he hasn't even yet considered. But Lord, I just pray that as he comes closer to you and develops this wonderful lifestyle of praise, that you start to reveal to him your plans and purpose for him, not just in heaven, Lord, but down here. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I've closed now, and it's hard to give an appeal to a message like this. But this is the appeal that I'm giving. I won't be there to see it, but God will. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, start praising God. If you believe what I've said, if you don't believe it, Can't wait to get out of this place. You've been here, you've done your bit, you've done your religious duty. Let's get out of here quick. Let's go and have some lunch or whatever it is. That's up to you. But if you know that what I've said is true, you know the world wants to shut you down. You know the devil wants to shut you down. But you say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to praise God. And tomorrow, you wake up praising him. It will be a sacrifice for some of you. But you do it the day after and the day after. And you go through the day praising God. Obviously, you don't walk around the shopping center shouting loud, praising God. Because if you do, two men will come along with white coats and carry you off. So you've got to be wise, obviously. But in your car, you can praise God. Amen? Come on, you can go in your back garden, have a walk down. And in shopping centres, by the way, I do praise God because I've discovered something. A lot of people now have those things in their ear and they're on the phone. I saw this woman walking towards me, talking out loud. I thought, poor woman. She's talking to herself. And she wasn't. She was talking to somebody on the bus. She was talking away like this. And I thought, oh, she's talking. And I thought she was talking to herself. So I learned something. I can praise God. People think I'm on the phone. Come on, we've got some advantages here, haven't we? But you can do it. Praise him. Let this week be a week where you respond to this message by praising God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Father, I thank you for every person here today. Lord, everyone is special in your sight, and everyone is unique in your sight. Lord, help us to get our eyes off what this world's trying to teach us. Help us, Lord, to walk away from these so-called reality TV shows. Lord, we don't want reality with the TVs. We want reality with you. We want to praise you and honor you. We want to walk in joy and peace that you've bestowed upon us through the death of your son, Jesus. Bless this church. Bless the pastor and his wife. Bless the leaders of this church. May this church grow and develop in such a beautiful spiritual way that everybody, Lord, will start to see wonderful earthquakes, spiritual earthquakes taking place, setting them free, Lord, loosing our chains, opening the doors that we can walk through and follow you and glorify you. May our life, no matter how short or long it is, be a life spent glorifying you. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.